Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich, winners of the Brokers Ireland Investment Excellence Award each year since 2014. Now that's reassuring.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Now, the government is to bring in a ban on industrial overfishing of sprat in Irish inshore waters to combat marine biodiversity loss. From October the 1st next year, large vessels of more than 18 metres in length fishing for sprat will be fully excluded from trawling inside the 6 nautical mile zone. And there have been reports of fewer sightings of whales and dolphins and porpoises off the southwest coast, which is damaging ecotourism, and that seabirds don't have enough food. That's the argument. But will this new measure protect our marine wildlife? Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Minister of State for Nature, Heritage and Biodiversity, Christopher O'Sullivan from our Cork studio, and also by Jennifer Whitmore, Social Democrats TD and spokesperson on climate, environment and fisheries, among other titles as well. You're both very welcome to the programme. So tell me, Minister, first of all, what's happening with our sprat?
Yeah, so Cormac, look, first of all, just to say a big thank you to everyone who was involved in getting this decision finally over the line from coastal communities right around Ireland, obviously ecologists, the inshore fishing sector, right up to the political level where Minister Timmy Dooley and the Taoiseach as well.
Okay, go on now, before you invite them all for Christmas dinner as well. What's
look,
happening
with
sprat?
It's important to acknowledge that, IWDG as well. Look, sprat, first of all, it's very important to describe what it is. It's a small silvery fish. They spawn in our bays and harbours right around Ireland, and they are an incredibly important forage food for things like cetaceans, that's your whales and your dolphins, humpback whales, fin whales, which used to occur in big numbers off the southwest coast in particular, but also seabirds, you know, some of the most beloved seabirds like the kittiwake and the puffin, they rely on sprat as well to feed. So what we have noticed is some very worrying trend over the recent years, where the southwest coast in particular was once a hot spot for species like humpback whale, like fin whale in particular. They now are no longer occurring in their numbers. There's been a dramatic decline, almost a cliff edge decline in terms of their sightings and their observations, and we believe and the evidence is there to back the fact that this is down to a lack of food, and the food being this really important forage fish, which shoal, I mean, it's like
essentially
what happens, Cormac, is those David Attenborough documentaries where you see those sprat forming into bait balls, and then they're essentially attacked by humpback whales
and I'm glad you've given us that image, because that everybody or many people have seen that image in beautiful documentaries on RTE as well, of course. And you say the lack of them is down to overfishing. Is that it?
Yeah, it's absolutely one of the contributory factors. And there are other factors as well that we have to take into account. We know that we're getting marine heat waves on a more regular basis, but certainly the levels that these fish are being taken at are unsustainable. So, for example, the ICES, which are an international council which assess these and recommend catches, recommend only about 2,000 tonne of these fish are taken. And we saw in 2024, for example, over 16,000 tonne of these fish were landed. And this is where the measure in relation to over 18 metres comes in, because what we're seeing from landing records is that by far the majority of these fish are being landed by boats over 18 metres. So for example, 16,000 tonne in 2024, 10,000 were taken by these
vessels. Okay, you've made your point very well. You welcome this ban on industrial overfishing of sprat, I assume, Jennifer, do you?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's important that we do have controls. But what I would say, and I completely understand where the minister is coming from, and I absolutely 100% agree with everything he said in relation to the importance of sprat and the fact that they are being overfished. We've seen fishing of them increase from 3,000 tonne in 2018 when the government first tried to introduce a ban like this to currently 16,000-17,000 tonne. It is completely unsustainable. Where I don't agree with the minister, though, is I think at this stage we need a complete moratorium on all sprat fishing, because data from the Marine Institute would show, on average, if you look at a spread over a number of years, that actually 50% or more than 50% in some instances of sprat fishing is done by boats under 18 meters.
Oh, really? Wow.
And so I think, yeah, so I think it's whilst I understand, you know, the premise for this, I actually think it's not as simple as just banning the boats of over 18 meters. What we need to actually look at is have a moratorium on all sprat fishing, because the reality is we do not have sufficient data to work out exactly how much sprat we can be and should be fishing.
Okay,
there's no regulation on any of the fishing. And actually, indeed, under the 18 of these new proposals, there will be no regulation as far as I can see, on any boat under 18 metres.
Okay, what about that? A complete moratorium is needed.
Cormac, it's really important that we do a couple of things here. First of all, we find balance, because we do know that the inshore sector, there is an economic, consideration to take into account here. And there are many boats, the vast majority, about 63% of the boats who fish for Sprat are under that 18 metres. Only 27% are over the 18 metres. Yet, as I described to you there, in 2024, of the 16,000 tonne of Sprat caught, 10,000 were caught by those bigger boats. So we feel that this is a balanced measure. Secondly, in relation to a complete moratorium, unfortunately, what we saw here in previous efforts to introduce this ban, we saw that there was a legal challenge on a technicality and also on public consultation. We have obviously received advice from the AG in relation to this. What we need here is a measure that is robust and that will withstand legal challenge.
What does the legal advice say?
The legal advice said that we should introduce something almost a copy of what was attempted to be introduced in 2019, but to fix those technical issues.
The legal advice say no to a complete moratorium.
The legal advice essentially said that we should introduce something which we have, which is very similar, very close to what was attempted to introduce.
Did it preclude a complete moratorium?
It advised against a complete moratorium, absolutely. And that's because what we have here, look, obviously the sector needs a leading time to adjust, which is why we've introduced the 2,000 quota ton for the first year. Yep. So from October 1st to September 2026 that done. And that's to offer that leading time and adjustment time.
So there you go,
time.
Jennifer. It's also based on legal advice.
So the actual consultation that the government went out on, it didn't even it didn't ask anyone's opinion on a complete ban. It only looked at boats from, I think, 12 metres up. I would actually counter that. I believe that a complete ban would be possible on the basis of sustainability and using the precautionary measure that will be used in European fisheries a lot. I mean, we don't have any management plans for this species. We don't know what kind of stocks there are. We have no studies on them. In fact, the ICs that Christopher referenced there, they have said that they can't introduce a total allowable catch because there is insufficient data on this species. The other thing as well that the Minister mentioned was the economic value of it. But, it's roughly around 5 million a year. But actually, the fish that we catch or that is caught is ground up and used for fish meal. And I think really what we need to ask ourselves is, you know, is the value of that sprat, is it better used as fish meal, you know, ground up and squashed up and used in feed and animal foods? Or is its value actually being left in the marine where it's fed on by other fish, where it's fed on by mammals and seabirds? And, you know, I believe that actually the latter is true, that this is a much more important species that we need it in our seas. We need it actually being the base of our ecosystems, and actually that we shouldn't be just extracting it briefly,
I want to ask you one more question.
This is a positive news story. And it's been welcomed by the, for example, the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group. It's been welcomed by other NGOs. It is a positive news story. It is essentially taking a breather of about 8,000 tonne landings in terms of preventing 8,000 tonne of sprat being landed. That will offer breathing space for the species to recover so that we can see those whale and dolphins.
We'll certainly track it as well.
It'll be refreshing to see the SOCTOMs get behind
it. Well, we'll track it and we'll see how it goes because it's extremely important.
Can I just say on that, if there was regulation of the remaining boats, absolutely. So if there was any level of controls, if there was any quota, if there was any monitoring, any management plans put in place, we would absolutely get behind this, Christopher.
Okay.
But unfortunately at the moment there is going to be, as far as I can see, there's going to be no regulation of the boats that are left fishing this species.
Okay, Jennifer Whitmore, thank you very much. Minister, I'll hold on to you for one second because we did have a debate at the start of the programme at 5 about the proposed cut to VAT rate, for hospitality. Huge feedback, huge number of texts as well on that. The industry, of course, saying it's vital for survival. But we have Dr. Barra Rowntree, an economist, saying this is economically illiterate, and Siptuating Rictu saying it's reckless vandalism of public finances. Well, where do you stand in this?
I think if it's been presented as an outright across the board reduction in VAT for the entire hospitality sector, then yes, you know, that's something that I wouldn't be in favour of. But this, what we're just pushing for, or certainly what I'm pushing for representing my constituents here in Cork South West, is for VAT to be reduced on food-only businesses, which we think will come in a cost of between 500 and 600 million, which is still, you know, a considerable amount. But, you know, the VAT 9 movement It started here in West Cork. It started with a group of incredible business people who cherish and nurture their businesses and who are finding it difficult in terms of making margins. And this would offer them that breathing space.
So you're happy that some say 600 million, as you say, others say close to a billion. You're happy that that money is used out of the 1.5 available, meaning an awful lot of families won't get a tax break. Carers might get a tax break, as Barra pointed out. You're happy with that proportion?
First of all, to say that, look, discussions are ongoing in terms of how the budget will look, and there will absolutely be measures within the budget to look after the most vulnerable and to look after those people who need it. So that is going to happen. There's going to be a focus on cost of living. There's going to be a focus on disabilities, for example, and on child poverty. So that's something that we absolutely will look at. But we have an incredible a gem of an industry here that we have to look after. There's been, I suppose, a loud cry from that sector over the last number of years that they need a bit of breathing space. Okay. I'm in favour of the reduction for food-only businesses, but these discussions will have to go on and we'll see how they play out.
Okay, Minister State Christopher O'Sullivan of Fianna Fáil, thank you very much indeed. And beforehand, Jennifer Whitmore of the Social Democrats, thank you as well.